strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 15th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Jess. How you doing, Jess?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
Yes, very, very excited to have you on. Jessica was on the most recent season of Sequester that Brent and I covered. She was my favorite player on the season.
Don't tell anyone else.
yes, very excited to have you here to talk Big Brother Canada with us.
Yes, I'm so excited. I love Big Brother Canada, and these feeds have been so crazy. So we have a lot to talk about.
All right. We are here to tell you about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. It was day 15 in the house. And what a day for you to join us for your first live feed update.
I know.
Very packed day. A lot of stuff going down here.
I know. I feel like it's never a dull moment in this house with this cast.
Truly, I said on Thursday night, I was like, hey, Sheldon has won the HOH. He's got a plan already. It should be a relatively straightforward week we've got here, right? it should be like, what could possibly go wrong here? Other than like, I did suspect that Min could be in trouble, and that might cause a little bit of a stir, but not nearly, what I think we're seeing here today.
I think her first mistake was going and putting all of her balls in Angie's thing in the HOH competition. Because right from the start, like, people were annoyed with that. And I think, and then just her mouth, she just needs to be quiet. If she could stay quiet, she'd be fine. But she has to go around telling everyone everything all the time and making up lies because she's bored. And now she's in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, and a lot of people are in trouble, quite honestly. All right. So really, I tweeted this out that we've got a ton of stuff to cover here. We had a blow up in the house. We had the veto competition happened. We had a target is chosen. We had a wild card exposed. and really the house dynamics are continuing to shift. The state of the house will not stay put. And so there's a lot to get to here. So let's get started. One of the first things we saw in the morning was that Chris is going to confront Sue a little bit. Now he's been told by Vanessa that there is a 5-person alliance that consists of Sheldon, Brooke, Sue, Jamar, and Hira. This has rocked Chris's world, and he is not a fan of it. And so he is going to go to Sue and question her. Hey, are you working with Jamar and Hira and Shells? Is this what's going on? And Sue is just like, whoa. Who fed you this? Who told you this? I don't like this. Something made you doubt me. What's going on here, Chris? And he's just like, I don't know. I mean, I just see things sometimes, right? So I just, are you working with them? I don't know. What's going on?
Yeah, Chris, I feel so bad for it. He should never have said he was a brain specialist, because now he just has this impression that he's supposed to be so smart and be able to pick everyone's minds apart. And really, I feel like everybody else is doing that to him instead. And he's just asking everybody all the time, like, wait, he's just clueless, and everybody feels like they can trick him. So I feel bad for Chris, kind of.
Well, Sue is going to try really hard here to get some work done on him because he's clearly suspicious of her in this moment. But he won't tell her who told him, which, you know, is definitely a lifesaver for Vanessa. She says, like, you're not telling me who it is. I trust you the most in this game, Chris. I trust you the most. And in order to make this work, you need to tell me where this came from. And Chris just over and over like, well, are you 100%? You're 100% with me? Are you 100%? And she's like, yes, you're my number one, Chris. And so he's still not really telling her. She tries to explain, like, oh, well, look, my relationship with Brooke is, you know, because, you know, I'm close to Brooke, Brooke's close to Shell, and, you know, all of this stuff. And Chris says, you know what, though, I will tell you, of all the guys in the house, I do feel best about Sheldon. You know, Kyle's cool and all, but like Sheldon is so reliable. Like you can just talk to Sheldon. Like he's not doing anything crazy. Like he is the guy I trust the most. He still trusts the girls more than all the guys, because he's such a ladies' man. But he trusts Sheldon the most out of the guys, even more so than Kyle. At least in this moment, Vanessa will continue to be working on him in that regard, though. So he says, you know, it's going around. A few people are talking about it. He's like, you don't trust me. Why aren't you telling me? Was it Min? He's like, yeah, you know, it could have been a little bit of Min. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird because Vanessa and Min, I feel like nobody really has made this comparison, but they're both such agents of chaos, but Vanessa is just able, like, I don't know why she's so for, like, against Min, because Min is the perfect person to blame all of her stuff on, because nobody knows that Vanessa is an agent of chaos in the house. So anytime, like, Vanessa messes up or does something or lies, it's always blamed on Min. It's just assumed that it's Min. So Vanessa should not want her gone, because Min is the perfect shield for her, for all of her chaos.
It's true. It's very true. So he says he can't even talk to Kyle anymore. She asks, but she's continuing to try to be like, well, who is it? And she asks, was it Vanessa? And he's like, well, Min says things. Not even a very good deflection there, but Vanessa keeps getting away with it for now. Here,
it'll be interesting to see if it catches up to her. Like it's kind of catching up to Min now.
Mm-hmm. He says she like cries to him. She like jumps into his lap, like she's pulling out all the stops, but it's not working.
Sue's a really good social player, but I think she can be like, people are catching on to her game a little bit.
Yeah, he at one point says, I just see you scurrying around all the time. Yeah. And she's like, what am I supposed to do? Because I talk to everyone and then people get mad that I talk to everyone and I don't talk to everyone. They get mad that I'm not talking to them. maybe she doesn't know what to do.
That is true, though. It's just her personality. She can't hide it.
It's very, very true. So we then get to they're going to pick players for the veto. And this is going to be a very strange veto because five players were picked. I believe those five players were, of course, Maddie, Ree, and then I think it was Brooke, Chris, and Min Lee were the other picks. But then after those five players were chosen for the veto, they all then chose a partner to play in the veto with them. So Maddie chose Jean-Luc, Ree chose Hira, Brooke chose Sue, Chris chose Kyle, Min chose Vanessa, I think.
Yeah, and I thought this was weird. Has this ever happened before where they've done a pairing for a veto competition? That was kind of weird to put, like, for Maddie and Ree to have to put their fate into a partner seems weird to me.
It is very strange. And so basically how this works is whichever team wins the veto, the original player picked for the veto will have the veto power and their partner will be safe. that can't be nominated as a replacement.
Yeah, which just seems like a very weird dynamic. And I guess because they were able to pick their own player, that it could be a benefit to their game. But also, if that player really, how do you fully trust that they don't want you out and they're going to throw it, and then you're going to lose?
Yeah.
Like, as we see kind of a plan.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like, I think the closest thing I can think of is Big Brother 13, when they introduced the pairs back again, at like the final six or whatever, and it helped save both Rachel and Jordan, which ended up leading to Rachel winning the game. So, you know, I don't love the, I feel like do whatever you want with the HOH. The veto has always been this, like, it's an individual thing. You win it for yourself, you're safe, but you can't protect your allies if you're on the block. I've never liked this idea that, like, well, you're on the block and you can protect both yourself and an ally who's not on the block as long as you can win it as a pair. Don't love that.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it either.
Yeah, well, it's a very strange thing. 10 players are playing in the veto. 10 out of 14 people in the house will be playing in the veto. Something happened during the veto picks or right after, but the feeds come back from the veto picks and there's some kind of like big confrontation going on. I believe that Jamar, who was upset that he was not chosen to play in the veto, was and was mad at Kyle from the day before. I believe he said something or was just like angry or something, and then Kyle made a comment to Jamar in response that was like, hey, when you act this way, you make the whole house uncomfortable. And then that, of course, made Jamar even more upset. And then they ended up getting into it. And I believe that's where the feeds came back. And we saw a little bit of them arguing with each other.
And I did see Jamar said, I forget who he's talking to, but he said he was very calm in the beginning. And knowing Jamar, he is very like loud and crazy, but he's not a super, he's smart in the game. And he's not going to be somebody who's going to be super like aggressive and confrontational unless there's a reason, I guess, in my opinion, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I'm already not really a huge Kyle fan, but I just feel like he's looking for any reason to blow up on anybody. And he's so irrational at times. And I just feel like it was a bad look on Kyle's part. But unfortunately, I feel like it was also not great for Jamar because he doesn't know that Sheldon's more loyal to Kyle. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to side with Kyle. So now Jamar's in this bad position, but it's not really his fault. From my opinion.
Yeah. And like it's frustrating to watch Jamar, not because of his behavior, but because of what he's dealing with, what he has to deal with. And like you can see, like in Jamar's, like he's a very like confident individual. Mm-hmm. But you can see the hurt on his face in moments like this when he's called, you know, uncomfortable, people say that he makes people feel uncomfortable, and he has people like Min who later is going to be like, pull your pants up, you look like a gangbanger, you wonder why people act like, say that you make them feel uncomfortable. And it's just like he's I'm just a person. Like I walk around and it's like, oh, you make people feel uncomfortable. You know, it's just, it really sucks. And you can see how much it hurts him. And I wish that he had more people in there that could like back him up on an emotional and social level. But it's not happening because, he doesn't really have anyone in there that's on his side.
Yeah, it's not fair. And I think it's because he's so silly. They think that they can joke with him or say certain things to him. And I also think because he doesn't really blow up, they think they can say things to him. But it's not fair to him because he shouldn't have to be, just because he reacts well to things, take those kinds of comments. Mm-hmm. I do feel bad for him there.
Yeah. Well, so they, Jamar and Kyle were getting into it. And Kyle was like, you do make everyone feel uncomfortable. And there were, blah, blah, blah. Jamar was like, Kyle, you make me feel uncomfortable. And then, Kyle started imitating Jamar's voice. He was, and then Brooke was like, whoa, 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 that's not cool. And Brooke was trying to step in and get involved. And that pissed Kyle off because this is the second time she's tried to intervene in his, you know, his, I don't know what he would call them, but he would definitely would downplay the blow ups. And so like now Kyle's mad at Brooke. And then Hira also stepped in and was like, hey, Kyle, I also feel like, you know, you can joke around with people, but you can't take a joke. And Kyle's like, what does that even mean? And so it's and then Carol was mad at Brooke because Brooke was stepping in and trying to mediate the situation. And Brooke was like, I don't think this is the forum. I think that you should have a private conversation. And Carol's like, no, it should be aired out publicly. And it was just, it was all over the place here.
Yeah, I feel I don't understand. Kyle and Brooke are working together. If Brooke is trying to intervene, like, let her. She's trying to help you. She is not trying to make you look bad. She's trying to shut you up because you already are making yourself look bad. So I feel like it's weird that he gets so mad. But like I said, he's just irrational at times. And I also feel like Brooke is really good at this. She's really good at mediating. Like, also when Jamar and Min were talking about Angie and Carol and that whole drama that happened a few days ago, Brooke was sitting there and she was listening and taking things in and really mediating. Like, she does that really well. So I feel like it's weird that it's not, I don't know why they were getting so upset with her. She was just trying to help, but.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, she's later going to talk with Sheldon about it, and he was basically like, "Look, you're in the right here, but this is also a game, and if two people are arguing, just let them do it." but at the same time, but it's so funny because Brooke and Sheldon have completely like opposite reactions to this kind of argument. Like, Brooke wants to step in and, you know, defend what she thinks is right, and Sheldon is like, screw all of that, this is a game, I'm gonna do what's best for my game. And I feel like the people watching the feeds are like very split on, like, they kind of hate both methods a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I think Sheldon is just, he's, to me, he comes off very emotionless. I don't know if it's just because he's monotone, but he has like no emotion. So in those kind of situations, he's just, it is solely game related to him. Like, he's like, let this boil over, this is better for our game. And I get that. But also, if you're passionate about something or you feel something's important, I'm the type of person that it would be hard for me to sit back and not say anything. So I see both points of views, but I don't know which is better.
Yeah, this situation in particular really made it clear to me that Sheldon truly is a game bot. And I tweeted this out that, like, if you've ever used the term game bot before, I think you have to reevaluate your entire scale for what it means to call somebody a game bot, because Sheldon is the real deal. And like, we joke around that I'm a robot, and like, I feel like a fraud because Sheldon puts me to shame in that regard. He is truly emotionless in this game, to the point where I think it really hurts him, because he can't even seem to really like understand or like know how to deal with emotions when they come up. Like, so Brooke is gonna cry to Sheldon afterward. She's upset about the situation. She feels like Kyle doesn't respect her. She was just trying to stand up for what she thought was right, and just to protect Kyle and to protect Jamar, and like just get this situation over with. And and Sheldon is just like, hug. Like, he doesn't know what to do to calm her down other than say, like, look, Brooke, I understand you're totally right. You're totally right. But just don't do that again, because it's bad for our game. And that's the only thing that matters. And if they're going to argue, let them argue, because that's what, like, just, it's bad for your game. And Brooke's like, I understand that. But like, don't you understand that when I try to shut it down, Kyle gets mad at me. When you say, all right, that's enough, it's over. Like, he just, like, he respects you. He doesn't respect me. Don't you, like, understand how that makes me feel? He's like, totally. but you just kind of have to get over it because we're working with him and we need him. And this is like, we're in a good spot. Don't you understand? Like, hug, right?
But Sheldon's exactly what Brooke needs in this game because she is so emotional. She's crying at the drop of a hat. And so I think if she had anybody else that was alongside her, like if her and Min were together, her and Sue were together, it would be, she would be a mess all the time. And I think Sheldon just being like, so like blunt, I guess, and strategic all the time, it like they balance each other out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so he's also going to talk with Kyle, who's also going to be ranting about Brooke, about the Jamar situation. And Sheldon does the exact same thing with Kyle. You're completely in the right in this situation. I will talk to her and make sure she never does it again. But we just need to like squash this because we need to be working together. Like Sheldon does not care. And that is definitely upsetting some people who want him to care, especially about the Jamar situation. That's really where it's like, dude, you're so cold here. But he really does not care about a single personal issue in the house. And he's very willing to tell people that too. When Carol comes in and apologizes for her role, he's just like, look, Carol, I don't care. I hope you realize I don't care. It has nothing to do with the game. Like, I don't care about anything but the game. You don't have to apologize to me. And she's like, okay, I just thought, like, I didn't want to upset you or anyone. I just wanted to apologize. It's like, seriously, I could not care less. I really don't care. And that's not the first time he's approached people apologizing to him in that way. He consistently says, I don't care. It doesn't matter anything to me. It has nothing to do with the game.
I know, it's a very strange strategy. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody like this before who just, I'm interested to see how it's going to play out, because right now to me, it's a little bit boring, but I think it's going to be good for him if people know that he's going to, game comes first. Like they'll never offend him in a certain way, or they'll never, if they do get in an argument, he can move on from it as long as it's game related. So I feel like that can really work towards his benefit, but I'm interested to see how it'll play out for him, the strategy.
Sheldon is like the ultimate, if you are somebody who can think logically, Sheldon is the ultimate ally because he is only logic. And so he is the most predictable player on the board. And he doesn't have any, he can't maneuver anywhere emotionally. And so he's completely pigeonholed into one logical throughput where you can say, where you can, you know exactly what he's going to do based on where he is and logically where he's going to go from there. The problem is that the people that want to work with him the most are people like Jamar and Hira and even like Min, who's trying to get in with him. But all of those people, like, they're more emotional players. And it's harder for them to understand Sheldon, and he doesn't understand them. And so there's like this big divide, and it's hard for them to work with one another. It's interesting. It's really interesting for me to watch.
It is super interesting. It's frustrating at times when like those players like Jamar, it's so frustrating to me that he's not loyal to Jamar because Jamar is so loyal to him. He's like his ride or die. And then he would rather work with someone like Kyle. I'm like, how can you even connect with Kyle? But it's again like him and Brooke, Kyle's this explosive, loud player, and he's able to like balance that out, whereas Jamar, I feel like, is more well-rounded character, and I think they just like don't connect in that way.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it shows where, like, you know, Sheldon is able to talk with Kyle afterward, and Kyle's like, look, I understand what you're saying, and he listens to Sheldon, and he like does what Sheldon says to do. Go apologize to Brooke. They clear things up. Brooke and Kyle have a talk. She gets him to admit that he doesn't find her as authoritative as Sheldon. They kind of talk about that a little bit, and they clear the air, and they're perfectly fine with each other again. And that's I think from Sheldon's point of view, that's one of the main differences between Kyle and Jamar, is that when he goes to Jamar and he's like, look, I need you to clear the air with Kyle. I need you to like get on board with this. Jamar's like, no.
That's very true.
I hate that guy.
That is very true. And I feel like Jamar doesn't really listen to Sheldon, whereas Kyle is more like willing to understand things from Sheldon's point of view. But Jamar's thinking, I'm doing this for both of us, so I still am thinking of you, but it's not as in the ways that Sheldon wants. So I think that's probably part of it too.
Exactly. Because Jamar operates on this sort of feeling of like, hey, we're together, and it's a more emotional bond. And like, mm-hmm. if Sheldon doesn't see what's good for us both, then I do. And I'm going to make sure that I make it happen for both of us. But that's not like a logical process. And so Sheldon doesn't understand it. And so Sheldon's just like, I don't know what to do with this person. Like, they're loyal to me, but I don't know how to work with them. And it's a massive hole in his game. But I've never seen somebody this genuinely emotionless in a game. And I find it infuriating and interesting at the same time. We'll see where this goes.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see if it works.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's not going to, but we'll see.
Me too.
So that's going on there with all these things. Adam in the chat says, wasn't Cody emotionless? No way. Cody was very emotional.
Yeah.
Not only with Jess, but in the house as well. Like, he was fiery hot at many points throughout the game. And that's not, Sheldon is just ice cold always. He doesn't care. Like, you could make fun of Cody. You could insult him and he would like be like, my honor. but like, you could make fun of Sheldon and he'd be like, what does that have to do with the game? I don't understand.
Yeah. he literally is a robot. Does not compute unless it involves something with the game. It has no relevance to him. It's trash. He doesn't want to even talk about it. I feel like it's just anything that is going to make like somebody upset or sad, he could care less. Like, goodbye. I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah. So that all that went on. And so we then get to the next portion of the day, which is that Vanessa is going to go and talk to Min. And she says, guess what Brooke just did? Or not just did, but guess what Brooke did? She told me that I should throw the veto so that you don't win the veto, because they don't know what you're going to do, essentially. And she says, Brooke told me to do this. And this is just, by the way, a complete lie. Brooke did not say this. They talk about it after that. They like had a group conversation where they tossed out the idea of potentially throwing a veto at some point in this, you know, week. But it was never told to Vanessa, certainly not by Brooke, that she should throw a veto. But she hates Brooke and she wanted to stir the pot, I guess. And so she's telling Min that Brooke told me to throw the veto because she doesn't want you to win, essentially. By the way, that conversation wouldn't have even happened post veto picks. It would have happened before. So it would have had nothing to do with Min winning the veto. But Vanessa is trying to link those two things in order to make Min feel uncomfortable. And Min's like, wow, that was a really dumb move of Brooke to tell you. She knows how close we are. Right. And Vanessa's like, yeah, exactly. Just don't tell anyone. It would be really bad for me if this came out. That Brooke, she thinks she's so smart. And she's mad about the fact that Sheldon and Brooke did well in the HOH competition. It was a floater competition. It wasn't meant for people like me, big targets. I can't believe Brooke did so well.
I know. I heard her say that. And I think she says it to Kyle too. Like, she says something like, oh, like we've got out first because we're huge targets. Like, no, they wanted you on slop again because you are going to be weakened. Like, you're not the biggest target in the house, but I love that you think you are. Like, it's so interesting for me to understand Vanessa. She's a puzzle I cannot figure out. Like, she thinks she's working with Min, then she's not working with Min, then she's working with her other alliance, and then she's like talking to Carol. I'm like, what are you doing? Where are you going with all of this? And I start to like think I'm understanding where she's going or what scheme she's trying to do, and then she does something else. So I'm like, she's just like I said, an agent of chaos.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive feat that just randomly starting a weird showmance with Chris of all people is like one of the least confusing things that a player has done in the house.
It's so interesting to watch her. And again, she's another person I'm very, very curious to see where this goes. And I think if Min ends up leaving ever, she's going to be in very big trouble because they're going to catch on to her plan very quickly.
Yeah, there's such a wide variety of play styles in this house. And yeah. Like the fact that Sheldon and Vanessa are in the tightest and most powerful alliance in the house together is so strange.
It's so strange. And like they all hate each other, but why are you working together?
Oh, man. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So so after Vanessa tells Min that Brooke told her to throw the veto and then says, Min, don't tell anyone. Min, of course, goes and tells Kira and Carol in the pantry. You know what's sketchy? Brooke went up to Vanessa and told her to throw the competition. Don't say anything about it, though.
Yeah, we knew this wasn't going to stay quiet for long.
5 minutes later, Carol goes to Sheldon and Brooke. You know what Min just told us? That apparently Vanessa was told by you, Brooke, to throw the veto. And so she told Min and Min told me. And so now I'm telling you, but don't go and confront anyone because I don't want anybody to know that I'm telling you this. So don't go and confront Min. And Sheldon and Brooke are like, what? And Sheldon's like, did you even say something like that? And Brooke's like, no, I think that's just a complete lie. Min must just be making this up. Min must just be like completely inventing this of whole cloth because I never even said that to Vanessa. So it couldn't have been Vanessa that leaked the information because it wasn't even real information. And who would just make something up like that and leak it to Min for no reason? So they're just confused. Then shortly after Carol leaves, Hira comes up and he's like, don't tell anyone, but Min just told me that you told Vanessa that she should throw the veto competition. And so this information went around real quick in a circle. And so now, they're a little bit worried about that, but they're still confused. They still just think, okay, this must just be Min being Min. For now, they're still thinking it's Min's fault. And so Min is taking all the heat for what Vanessa's doing. But this is really bad for Min because basically Sheldon's stance at the beginning of the week was, I want it to be Rhi, but if Min acts up, maybe we'll need to backdoor Min. And the more they're hearing about Min saying that Brooke wants Vanessa to throw the veto, throwing out the fake five alliance between them, Sue, Hira, and Jamar, all of which are really Vanessa, but Min is taking the heat for. The yeah. more he's thinking, maybe Min really does need to go this week.
Yeah, I know. I had a feeling from the very start when he said that, because we all knew Min was going to be acting up. Why is she not acting up? So as soon as he said that, I was like, oh no, like Min is in trouble and she's kind of digging her own grave here. But it also is Vanessa. It's totally Vanessa, like doing all of this stuff, and they just trust her because she's in their alliance. But I don't know. I think, and then yeah, you're probably going to trail this, but when they confront her, like, I think finally they're going to start to realize a little bit that she's maybe a bit sketchier than she comes off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. So Sheldon is going to talk with Brooke and JL a bit. They're hanging out a decent amount throughout the day. They eventually get around to like, hey, should we name something, man? Like, should we make it happen? And Sheldon, who is just very anti-naming alliances in general, is like, I don't think so, but we're solid. Like, Sheldon is like, if Sheldon named every alliance that people asked him to name, he'd have like 15 named alliances.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe he just wouldn't be able to keep them straight.
Yeah. I think that is why. He's like, I know that I'm cool with you. I don't know which alliance we're in. I might have like four alliances with you. I can't name them all. And I don't want to mix up the names and then have someone else think I'm whatever. So yeah, definitely can't name them because he just sent so many.
Yeah. But they're talking, and then JL talks about, like, yeah, so I heard that you told Vanessa to throw the veto. And at this point, like, a light bulb goes off in Sheldon's head, and he just, like, gets up and walks out of the room. And JL's like, what, did I say something? Sheldon makes a beeline straight for Vanessa. He gets her into the pantry, and he starts asking about, like, you know, so I heard that that Min is saying that, you know, Brooke tried to get you to throw the competition, like, Min is just being so all over the place, isn't she? And Vanessa is like, oh yeah, she must, you know, she overhears things all the time, and so she must have overheard that conversation. And Sheldon's like, what conversation though? Like, Brooke didn't tell you to throw the veto, right? And she's like, oh, I thought, did she not? Well, okay. So, but I mean, you know, it's this Min, you know? And so Vanessa's always, that's Min for you. Right? That's, oh, Min. So, there was just, oh, man, Min's so, it's so crazy, right, guys? And so, she says, maybe you should backdoor Min, actually. I mean, she's really being a wild card, right? So, but yeah, maybe we really should be backdooring her, is what should be happening here.
I know. I'm like, okay, hopefully he's finally starting to catch on to her sketchiness, because she's not really great at being confronted. She can lie in the moment when she has a thought out lie, but I don't think she's good at lying on the spot. And so, yeah, it was a very awkward interaction.
Yes. And so Sheldon actually gets called to the diary room before he can do anything with this conversation. And in the meantime, Kyle goes up to Brooke and says, Min needs to go. She got to Vanessa. I don't like, it clicked in my head that, you know, we're hearing about this, you telling Vanessa to throw the veto thing. She told Min. She leaked that information. Min got to her. She flipped her. We don't have Vanessa anymore. And Brooke's like, what? What do you mean? We need to talk to Sheldon. Sheldon finally gets out of the diary room. They pull him into the HOH. They fill him in. He's like, I just pieced that together earlier. I just pulled her into the storage room and I was asking her about it. And she was lying through her teeth to me. I could see she was lying. Like, I don't understand what she's doing. Like, what's the scenario? Is she stupid and I just don't know? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, again, it's his logic. He's like, I don't understand why she would lie for no reason, because what's the game move in doing that? But we're all thinking that too. We're all like, what is she doing?
I know. I was like, this was like Schadenfreude to the extreme, like watching them struggle. I was like, this, you are now experiencing my struggle for the last week. You now have to deal with it too.
Exactly.
Why? Nobody knows. But Kyle is trying to explain, like, yeah, I have to talk her down all the time about Brooke. Like, she's constantly complaining about Brooke. She thinks that Brooke needs to apologize to her. She like resents Brooke and her place in the alliance. And they're like, what? Why?
She's just dropping bombs on them and they're like, what is happening?
So they think, well, it must just be Min. Min must have just tricked her into revealing information, used her, you know, thing against Brooke in her favor. And so Sheldon's like, but what do we do? And Kyle says, here's a thought. What if we just replace Vanessa with JL? Just quick thought. And Sheldon's like, we can't though. Like, Vanessa will blow us up. Like, we can't even cut her, because she can blow the entire thing wide open. The second she thinks that we're not with her, she can just expose us and we're dead. Like, crap, you're right. Like, what do we do?
And I feel like they should have, when they saw how quick Kyle was to drop Vanessa, that should have been like a little bit of a red flag to them. Like, oh, he is really like ready to drop somebody in the alliance just like that and replace them. And so I feel like that should have been a little something for them to know.
I think they kind of know that about Kyle. I think they like it about Kyle, because, or Sheldon in particular, at least, because Sheldon is able to predict that if Kyle ever finds a better situation, he knows Kyle will jump ship. But the point is that right now they have the best situation. And so he's very reliable to Sheldon in that sense. Yeah. So I think that's why one of the reasons why Sheldon really likes working with Kyle is because, again, like similar to Sheldon himself, Kyle's a very logical player and he's going to do what's best for him at all times. And so as long as Sheldon's able to see all of the paths, then he can predict exactly what Kyle's going to do. The problem is that Sheldon can't see all of the paths and most of them are branching from Vanessa.
I know. It's all stems back to Vanessa.
Yeah. So Sheldon's just like, okay, What if we go and grab her right now? We sit her down. We ask her about it. And we just kind of like, we go, you know what? It's okay. We're still with you. We got to take out Min. Just get her back on board in any way that we can. And so, okay, they go, they grab Vanessa. They ask her. So Min has been going around saying that Brooke told you to throw the veto. And at this point, Vanessa already had the conversation with Sheldon, so she knows that she can't pretend the conversation did happen. She's like, yeah, but that conversation never happened, right? So clearly she's making it up, right? It's like, okay. And they're like, but did you say anything to Min? Like, what was the conversation you had with Min? And Vanessa's like, I mean, I didn't have any conversation with Min. I don't, she's making it up, guys. Like she's crazy. I didn't say a thing to Min, not at all. I didn't say anything like that. And Sheldon's like, okay. But what was a conversation you had with Min? I don't know. I just feel very interrogated right now. I don't feel very comfortable. And they're like, no, don't feel uncomfortable. Don't blow us up.
Yeah.
We're not interrogating you. We're just trying to figure it out. We're just, you know, working as a team. We're trying to, you know, we need to figure out what we need to do to combat this. So we need to know what exactly Min knows. She's like, she doesn't know anything. I didn't say anything. Nothing. And they're like, okay. No, we get that. I'm feeling very grilled right now. We're not grilling you. We're not grilling you. It's okay. We just need to figure out what's happening. And you know what? It's on us. We haven't been talking to you enough. We haven't been, hanging out with you enough and we don't want you to feel on the bottom. She's like, I do kind of feel like I'm on the bottom. I do kind of feel like that. You know what? We're going to fix that. We're going to make sure Min can't get in your head and stuff. She's like, yeah, you know what? I've been Minned. I've been Minned. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, she needs to go. Like, yes, we all agree. Min needs to go. You're with us. Nobody's being grilled. We're all good. The whole time though, you can see like they don't believe her when she says that she didn't say anything to Min. They're just like, okay, but they have to pretend that they believe her. And so, at this point the feed's cut for the veto and, we're just like, oh man, what is happening?
Yeah. I feel like she, like I said, she couldn't think of enough like lies on the spot. So she was like, I need to switch how I'm taking this conversation, and I'm just going to be like, you guys are attacking me. I feel attacked. I don't like this. And like, I feel bad for me. And so that was just her way of like getting out of the conversation. And I think they saw through that and they were like, okay, you can't tell us anything. You're just putting this back on you. Like clearly you're sketchy.
Yeah. So, the feeds go down for the veto. Apparently during the feeds being down, Sheldon did talk to Vanessa one-on-one and she was a little more open about admitting, I may have said something to Min. She did, but she tricked me. And this is the danger in, and you know, when we talk about like forced confessions and stuff, like when you're asking somebody a question and you feed them a narrative, like, and we saw this happen with Sue and Chris earlier when Sue was trying to figure out who told you about this fake alliance. Who was it? He won't say anything. Was it Min? Yeah, it was Min. When they're asking Vanessa, like, what did you say? What happened? Did Min trick you into saying something? Yes, that's exactly what happened. And it confirms your initial suspicion, which you're inclined to believe because it's what you thought. And it makes makes their lie much, much easier. You never suggest, if you're trying to get information from somebody, never suggest an answer, because if it's the wrong answer, they'll confirm. And if it's the right answer, they'll probably deny. So it's a bad move.
Yeah, and they're giving Min way too much credit. They think she's like this mastermind in the house working all angles, and it's like, really, she's just causing chaos.
Yes. So feeds are down for the veto. They come back and we learn that Maddie and JL, seemingly JL putting in a lot of the work, Maddie has won the power veto, will be taking herself off the block. And the first thing we see as the feeds come back up is Rhee in the have not room with Kyle. She's very upset. I think maybe came very close to winning the veto, but didn't happen. And so she is, and she's also upset because, she felt like she was playing strictly by the rules and some other people were not playing strictly by the rules. And so she's kind of like upset to Kyle here, and he is saying, you know, I've just got a soft spot for you. Yeah. I think I'm doing really well in this game. And I just tell you too much, 'cause I like you so much, Rhee. And I just want you to know that there is a plan in the works. You know, I'm going to push the Min narrative a lot. You know, it's like 95% right now, but I'm going to work so hard to get it to 100% for you, Rhee. And so, but you can't put me on the block if you win next week. You can't do that. I'm working for you here. She's like, oh no, of course I wouldn't do that, Kyle. And so that's happening.
Kyle, speaking of giving some people too much credit, Kyle gives himself way too much credit. He's always thinks he's masterminding things. It's like, please give me a break.
Yeah. In the meantime, Brooke is upstairs in the HOH room, which really I should point out when she's not upstairs in the HOH room more than when she is, but she's upstairs in the HOH room talking to Sheldon, very long conversation as they essentially are deciding who are we targeting? Because with Maddie coming off the block, either we put somebody up on the block as a pawn to send Rhee home, which was our original plan, or we replace Maddie with somebody like Min and we take the shot at Min. And Sheldon's dilemma here, which is a genuine one, it's a very tough spot. And I don't think there's an easy answer either way. But his dilemma here is if he puts up a pawn, they're mad at him. He's working with everybody else in the house. And so he can't reasonably put up anybody without betraying the fact that he's not really working with them. And they're going to be pissed at him. And that's bad. And on top of that, he doesn't think he can count guaranteed votes to make sure that Rhee is the one that goes home. We talked a lot, last week about how Chris put up, you know, Michael with a pawn and how it very well could have gone against Chris because he allowed the opportunity for there to be a referendum called on his HOH. And Sheldon, I think, understandably, doesn't want to allow that possibility to happen. If he puts up somebody like Angie as a pawn, pisses off Angie for the rest of the game because nobody's ever done her wrong yet other than Min. And Angie might go home. You know, he can count, you know, Kyle, hopefully Nessa, Brooke, but other than like those three, he's not sure like where the guaranteed votes come in. Hira had wanted to flip last week. He's always wanted to work with the evictors. He can't count him as a solid vote. He never knows where Jamar's head is at. He can't count him as a solid vote. Jamar also has a good relationship with them. You know, then you've got people like Min and Carol, who also wanted to flip last time. She's definitely going to vote with them. They just don't feel like they have the votes there. And so he's really concerned about that. But Brooke is still just very concerned about Rhee. She had a gut feeling when she walked into the house that Rhee was the one, the person that was going to take her out of this house. It reminds me a lot of Tommy and Cliff when Tommy really felt like Cliff was the guy that was going to get him out. And, you know, happened.
It's just, I do not understand. She's like, I'm just really scared of Rhee. I, you know, like, yes, Min, if you put Min up, the whole house will be happy and they all want her out. But, you know, Rhee, I'm just so scared of her. I'm like, what are you scared of her about? What, like, is she doing stuff that I'm just not aware of? Because I think she is the least person in this game right now. I'm so confused by that.
Well, so I think that's true. And later in this conversation, when Kyle joins them, Sheldon's going to say, I do think Rhee is very dangerous, but I think we're overestimating her maliciousness. Like, I'm not sure she knows what she's doing. And yeah. I think that's true. However, she is very dangerous in this game, for specific reasons. And these are the reasons that Brooke is correctly pointing out here, that basically, if Rhee stays this week, then you're leaving in the trio of Rhee, Maddie, and JL, and nobody's going for them next week. Right now, you have Hira and Jamar going after Kyle. You have Kyle going after Hira and Jamar. So next week, it's going to be all like our allies attacking each other while those three sit back, and you just nominated two of them. What we're also going to see is a beautiful example of why Rhee is so dangerous, following this conversation, as we could get a montage on the episode, if they edited the episodes well, of people going up to Rhee now that Maddie has the veto, thinking, now I can pull Rhee in. It's literally like four separate people went to Rhee, like, hey, Rhee, here's what's going to happen. And now you should work with us, because they all feel like they have a good enough relationship with her to do that. And basically how it's going to work, if Min goes on the block and Min goes home, is that everybody in the house is going to be courting the evictors, because the evictors become the most valuable piece on the board. And it's a trio of people who are willing to move in a block and work with whoever can court them the best. And they don't have to be doing anything. And they will be around for a little while. Brooke, I think even Brooke recognizes a little bit, like, she's not really dangerous right now, but she really will be. Like, if she starts to play more intentionally, she could be very dangerous in this game. And I think that she's right about that. There really is a back and forth sort of argument about, like, what should they do? Because Rhee is dangerous to them in the sense that if she stays, that could lead to a really bad place in terms of where the house is. And if she goes, then how do they make that happen successfully, and how do they deal with the Min and Vanessa situation, because that also plays a big role. With Min still in the house, they feel like they can't trust Vanessa at all. They don't trust Vanessa anyway, but with Min in the house, they feel like it's extra hard to trust her, and they kind of feel like if they get Min out, she might not really have anywhere else to go, which is not the case, but they believe that to be the case. And that, I think, is really helping tip the scales in favor for Sheldon, that maybe Min needs to go.
Yeah, that is very fair. I think, but still having to put up somebody else as a target and make somebody upset, like you said, like either Angie or Carol, you're severing that relationship early on. I still just don't think that it's worth it, because Rhianne, I do see how she's dangerous, but I don't think like you said, she's dangerous enough yet where it's worth severing a brand new relationship by having to put up a pawn. And I think Min right now is dangerous to the point of starting drama, starting chaos, starting lies and problems. And she's somebody that I think will continue that mantra. So getting her out now, I think, is easier for them or better for them than Rhee. But it's going to be tough for, I don't know. I think, yeah.
Well, this is perfect, because I do think it's a tough choice, and I think that we disagree on the ultimate what the correct decision might be. And I think that's a perfect example of like what's going on and what this conversation was. I feel like I was thinking about it. I feel like the danger of leaving those three in the house is just too big. Like, if you think about it, if Min leaves this week, then next week, it's either Kyle, Hira, or Jamar. Then, like, who's left? who's left to target for those three, especially if you have, you know, Vanessa jumping ship, you have Carol jumping ship, like Sheldon and Brooke and Kyle, or Sheldon, Brooke and Jamar, or Sheldon, Brooke and Hira, whoever, they become the biggest, juiciest targets while the trio gets to be the ones that have been pulled in and have been out of the fray. And I really feel like that's kind of a dangerous place to be for Sheldon and Brooke. Whereas I think that if you can pawn the right person, you can kind of get away with this. And I think the right person to pawn is Carol. I think that if you put Carol on the block, yes, she will hate you for the rest of the game. She will make it her mission to get you out of the game. But it's Carol, and she's probably not going to win much. She is accumulating more social capital in the house. But if she's on the block next to Rhee, she will not be able to accumulate the social capital with Rhee that she currently is, which we'll talk about soon. And so that will kind of hinder that, and Rhee will be gone. And so she won't be able to pick up those remnants as well. And so with Rhee gone, then, because if Carol's on the block, she will stay. She'll have Vanessa, she'll have Min. Those people won't flip against Carol. You'll be able to get Rhee out of the house. And moving forward, I think that they can be in an okay spot for the most part, but it's still risky. It's risky either way. So that's how I feel. But I think that, Jez, I think that you make a perfectly compelling argument in the other direction as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting to convince me, because Min doesn't really have any like solid people that trust her, whereas those three are going to be like a close solid trio since the start. So that is true. Min doesn't really have anyone. She's not, although she's like causing lies and stirring up drama, it's not really totally affecting them, because nobody really believes her lies, even if they're not even her lies, someone else's lies. So I guess she's not as dangerous in the sense of like taking them out.
Mm-hmm. It is a tricky one. And so Kyle does join them, and they talk about this, and they do come up with a good plan for how to deal with this, right? Like, Brooke and Sheldon are getting in really close with JL. If they can use their connection with JL to win Maddie and Rhee over by going to Rhee and going like, hey, we're doing you a favor. We're going to put up Min. We don't want you to go home. Get some promises of safety from them. Hopefully that means that they won't go after them. Maybe they can be the ones to court these three. You know, Kyle does say, I think that Rhee will go after you. And we learn later that that's a little bit due to Kyle. But that's what he thinks. So it's probably actually not reality. But that's what he thinks. And so like the idea is, if we take out Min, maybe we can be the ones to reel in the three, and then we can make something work here where they still go after Chris, instead of them, instead of, you know, Sheldon or Kyle. And something can work out in there. And I think they're right. I think it's a good plan. I really do. My doubt for the plan is that I don't know if they have the skill to pull it off. I don't know if they have the social and sort of just like the social ability and the emotional like acumen to like actually be the ones to court these three. I think that Sheldon and Brooke do have made a lot of inroads with JL, and I think that will do a lot for them. But I think they're underestimating the amount of work that the rest of the house is putting in with Rhee and Maddie. I think in a battle of social influence, I'm not sure that Sheldon and Brooke will win, because that's not really their strong suit. So I think that coming up with a plan that relies on that is kind of risky.
Not to mention, Sheldon just put the two of them up on the block. So for him to now come and say, I want to work with you guys, like, I can see them in the short term, because he's HOH and has power, being like, oh, he has this power, maybe he would be someone good to work with. But I feel like there's kind of like a bridge of trust there, or a wedge of in that trust, because he just put them up. So why are they going to want to work with him when they can work with somebody like Jamar or Sue, who hasn't like betrayed them yet?
Mm-hmm. And then like, I think the other part for Sheldon is that he is very confident that him and his allies can win competitions regularly. And He has felt this way from night one of the feeds. He has always talked about, like, he really feels like, you know, himself, Kyle, you know, Chris to some degree, especially now that he's pulling in JL. He's got Brooke, he's got Vanessa, like, he's got a lot of the biggest and strongest competitors on his side. And as long as they win, then it's fine. Like, they can correct this, you know, if the choice skews them off in one direction or another, they can correct course as long as they win the next one, as long as they win. And he really feels like they can. The worst case scenario is what? Rhee wins HOH. She's got a 1-in-13 shot. I really feel like we can beat her. We can, you know, we could go outside Thursday night and immediately just feel like she has no chance to win this competition. We're immediately comfortable. And this is weird to see. You know, normally we see people like overconfident about competitions, but I think the thing here is that lately we have seen competitions on Big Brother Canada, especially, that are significantly more winnable than in the past. Less crapshoot competitions, less mental competitions in general, a lot more physical things, a lot more skill oriented things. And if that continues to be the case this season, because what we saw last season was the Pretty Boys won like 90% of the HOHs. If that is the case with this season, and that's probably what Sheldon is talking about, then he might be right. But at the same time, you can't really rely on that. What if he's wrong? Right?
Yeah, I think it's such a stupid way to play the game is to rely on winning all the time. Like, I feel like that's your last case scenario strategy. When you're on the bottom, you're like, all right, I just have to win every single competition, like, or I'm going home. It's you when you're in control of the house and you have all these alliances, you should be working on like forming relationships or thinking about ways to win without having to rely on those competitions. And then if you win the competition, it's like a plus, like, oh good, I am in control again this week. But you shouldn't be like, well, whatever, we're gonna win, so it doesn't really matter, we don't really need to be that close with Rhee or whoever because we're just gonna keep winning.
Yeah, and I think for me the most frustrating thing is that somebody like Sheldon, who's a very cerebral player, can mm-hmm. make this argument and he's not completely wrong. Like, that's what I'm most annoyed about because of like the structure of how they've set up the competitions lately. Like there's actual reason for him to say this. Like, in the past, yeah, on Big Brother US, especially when like these big guys would be like, we're just going to win everything, we'd laugh at them. Like, that's so ridiculous. Wait till you get humbled. Mm-hmm. And like, I think there's still some of that for sure. But there's also part of me now that's like, he might be right though. Like, he might, him and his allies might win 90% of the HOHs. Like, that's, we just saw that happen. That's an actual possibility. I hope it doesn't go that way though.
And he does have a, like, he has Kyle, who's this huge guy and be like good physically. And then Brooke, who's smarter and reads all the time, probably has a great memory. So he has different people that can win different competitions. So it's a possible strategy, but I don't think it should be his first pick.
Mm-hmm. So they conclude eventually that Min really should be the one to go. They think that if Min goes, that Vanessa will be back with them at least to some extent. And Brooke eventually gives in. She says, okay, I can agree with this plan. Vanessa then comes in and she's like, oh, I'm so excited. We're going to backdoor Min, right? Like, Min's going. What a monster she was. Like, she's just like, she's like, she found her scapegoat and, who's been taking all the heat for her. And now she's took this big shot. And now it's like, yes, she's gone. I hate her. Right? We hate Min. She tricked me. And now that she's gone, it's going to be okay. Don't be mad at me anymore.
Yeah, she's like, okay, Min needs to leave ASAP so that I could keep up with my all the lies that I had, and she's not going to blow up my game. Like, she's like, she needs to get out of here immediately so I can have, like, all my previous lies can be blamed on her and I won't get caught. But she's not thinking about in the future. She's not going to have that anymore. So Vanessa needs to switch up her game a little bit.
Yes. So Kyle then talks with Vanessa one on one, and he tells her that he spoke with Rhi and told her that he's saving her by pushing Shell into this Min plan, and that he hopes that if Rhi wins, she won't go after him or Vanessa, and it kind of pointed her in the direction of Sheldon and Brooke instead. And so he feels like if Rhi wins, she'll go after Sheldon and Brooke and not Kyle and Vanessa. So he should be all set in that regard. And that's how he feels. And again, this is Kyle, of course, working in his own best interest. And Sheldon is aware that Rhi would probably go after him or Brooke. At least that's what Kyle thinks. I don't really know what Rhi would do yet, because she hasn't really needed to say anything, because people just keep going to her and giving her a ton of information, and she doesn't give anything back yet. So we'll have to wait and see about Rhi.
It's amazing to me that Kyle is still so loyal to Vanessa. She talks so, I just can't believe that it hasn't gotten back to him yet, that she like hates him or acts like she hates him to half the house.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Kyle, he had that initial reaction, which was, you know, he like just sat by himself for 30 minutes to cool down. Then he went to tell Brooke about it. And then he was like, we need to replace her. But I think that right now he feels like, okay, the core of this is that she hates Brooke. Mm-hmm. If I can tell her that I'm trying to separate us from Brooke and getting people to target Brooke, then she'll be okay with me. And if Min is leaving, then Min's influence will be gone. And then I'll be able to actually have Vanessa. And of course, he's wrong about this, but I think that's where his head is at. And I think that's why he said to her that he was pointing Rhi at Sheldon and Brooke. I never actually heard that in his conversation with Rhi. It might have happened before the feeds came on in that conversation, but it's actually not really in his best interest for her to target both Sheldon and Brooke and not Chris at all. So I do wonder how truthful he was here in this conversation with Vanessa in regards to Brooke, now that he knows just how much she hates Brooke.
Yeah.
So Sheldon's going to fill in Sue on the plan for Min. She's down. She's been down for a while to get rid of Min. Last week, she was saying she wanted Min gone. This week, really, the only person that really wanted Min gone this week was Sue, and she didn't have to do anything to make it happen. So good on Sue, I guess. She has been, you know, unfortunately called out by many allies. She's losing people left and right, but at least Min is going home. She's down for it. Min is jealous of her relationship with Jamar, and so Min being on is good for Sue. Kyle talks with Carol, and Kyle continues to be a little bit of like, all right, I'm going to make sure I get my pieces on the board. He goes to Carol and he says, look, so what we're doing here is that Min is going to go up on the block and we're going to send Min home. And I just want to give you a heads up. I'm sure Sheldon will tell you later, but I just want you to know that like any information I have, I always tell you, Carol, you're somebody that I really like to tell information to. And I want you to know that. And like, it is as awkward as I'm making it out to be, like, as transparent as I'm making it out to be here. And so that's what we're going to do. And we're just going to keep it amongst ourselves. Vanessa knows, so you can talk to her about it, but nobody else. Just wanted to give you the heads up, cause I really respect you as a player. And she's like, oh, like, this is so exciting. Min's going to go up on the block. Is it going to be a blindside? And he's like, I don't think so. I think that, you know, Shell said he wanted to talk to her ahead of time. And she was like, oh, but a blindside would be good TV. I read before I came onto the season that, it might be better for your game sometimes to tell people ahead of a blindside, but that it's a production, and so you got to think about the good TV potential. And I was tweeting about this, and I hadn't caught on to this, but I was told that this is not the first time she has quoted something from what appears to be Dan Giesling's book, she might have been reading Dan Giesling's book before entering the house, and she's quoted it a few times. Hasn't said where she got it from, but people have kind of caught on that this is probably where it's coming from. And Dan Giesling doing the Lord's work here in the Big Brother house for encouraging blindsides for players as before they go into the house.
I was going to say, I was very surprised that she said that, or that she cared enough to say, like, this is what the audience would like, or this is what's entertaining. I was surprised she said that, but it does make sense that maybe she was doing some studying before getting in the house.
Yeah, and Carol, by the way, is on an entirely new level. Like, you know, it reminds me a little bit of, like, Christmas, you know, in early days of Big Brother Night. Like, mm-hmm. she is, like, she has found a new source of energy in the house. She is nowhere, like, the Carol that almost quit the game a week ago seems to have completely evaporated, which does not mean that it won't get back to that place. But yeah. she is now really, like, excited about, like, she's the most excitable player in the house right now, and I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know if that was part of her deal too. I don't know what's going on with Carol, but she I mean, I guess maybe being back in ketosis, I don't know what it is, but she's found a lot of energy.
I think it's because when she left, when she was like threatening to leave or wanted to leave, everybody gave her all this attention, and now she feels like she's friends with everybody, and she feels like she has a more stable place in the or position in the house, and everyone's coming to her, like Kyle's talking to her, and so I think she's like feels way more comfortable. But I am curious to see what will happen next time her back's against the wall, or next time she feels like she's being targeted, how she will handle it.
Yes. And so after Kyle tells Carol about the plan, Carol goes to Ree and she says, okay, now don't tell anyone, but here's what's happening here. Min is going to be the backdoor target. So don't say anything. But look, you know, I was with you guys. I was willing to vote for Michael to stay last week. You know that. I just got caught, and then I was really worried that there was going to be a rogue vote and I was going to get blamed for it. But you know that I was with you. And Ree's like, I do know that you were with us. Like, you were the one person who was with us that whole time. And she says, like, I really want to make something work with you, Ree. I think that, you know, we can pull in Vanessa. And Ree's like, Vanessa, no. And Carol's like, no, I'm telling you, she is not with Kyle. She tells me stuff about Kyle all the time. She's not with Kyle. She's trying to distance herself. I promise you, we can make something work here. And so they're talking through that. Ree then asks, okay, so was I the original target this week? And Carol's like, yes, you were the original target, but now it's moving on to Ree. Ree's just like, now it's moving on to Min. And Ree's like, okay, good. I just need to know, like, how much I need to promise Shell in the conversation. Like, do I need to promise him that I won't ever go after him or whatever? Or is he going to do this anyway? And I don't need to make those promises. Right. And so, like, you can see, like, Ree has the seeds of a dangerous player. I thought it was really smart to ask that and to try to determine this. And so Carol tells her, yeah, you were the original target, but now it's Min. She talks to her. Carol's going to later talk to Maddie. And what Carol is trying to do is set up a four-person alliance between herself, Vanessa, Ree, and Maddie. And she's calling it the Pretty Boys, but with girls.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, this is an interesting quad of girls, and the fact that they want to be the Pretty Boys, but they're not playing at all like the Pretty Boys, so they're just kind of taking their name. And I thought it was so weird. I was like, interesting.
Yeah. So this is something that's coming together here. And you know, we'll see where this goes. I do think that Carol is probably one of the people that Ree trusts the mm-hmm. most of the people that came to Ree about plans. And it did seem like the conversation with Maddie went pretty well. So this could turn into something, but the problem is it includes Vanessa.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's what I was going to say too. Like, those three, I could see definitely doing something, and maybe with like JL, like Carol could take over where Mike was, but anything that involves Vanessa, you just can't trust is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. So Vanessa, in the meantime, is going to go to Chris. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, the house is just shifting. Every single person is trying to be the person. Mm-hmm. And that's what's making this house so crazy. So Vanessa is talking to Chris. She reiterates to Chris, we need to be worried about that five person thing. Sheldon, Brooke, Sue, Hira, and Jamar. Now you can see they're also pulling in JL. Like, now it's a six person thing. We really need to be worried about that. And Chris is like, you're right. That's six people. That's a lot of numbers. We don't have numbers. We need to get numbers, Vanessa. Who do we have as numbers? You, me, Carol, Angie. That's four. We need somebody else. I hate to say it. Do we need Kyle? Do we need Kyle as our fifth? We need five at least, right? Like, maybe we need Kyle. And like, it's like, how did this come full circle to where Vanessa is now bringing Kyle in on her side alliance that was designed to take out Kyle? And so
Kyle gets lucky a lot. Like, he, like, where does, where, why even pick Kyle? There's so many people in the house to, like, what about Jamar? I just don't, Kyle gets lucky.
Truly. So they talk about, Chris says, like, we gotta take out Jamar next week. He's the dangerous one. He's too close to Shell. He will come after us. If we take him out, we weaken that group. He's too close to Sue as well. I talked to Sue today and I could tell that she was like sketched out. Right. And so, we need to get rid of Jamar so that Sue doesn't have those options anymore, right? And so we got to take a shot at Jamar. And Vanessa's like, and also Brooke, she's really sketchy and dangerous. And it's like, okay, yeah, Brooke too, but Jamar and Brooke are our targets.
Vanessa is so good at targeting people that she's working with or people in her alliance.
Yeah, wait, hold on, you're talking about somebody who I'm not aligned with? You're talking Jamar? I'm sorry, Chris, I'm not aligned with Jamar. I only target allies.
Yeah,
let's move on to Brooke, actually.
Yeah, how about Brooke?
So that's what's going on there. And so, they go and talk to Kyle. This was not on the feeds, though. I don't know what that conversation consisted of. But then they go and grab Sheldon. Vanessa leaves, and Chris, Kyle, and Sheldon have a conversation. And I think this went really well for Sheldon, because again, we know from Chris's perspective that he likes Sheldon a lot and wants to work with him. But the only problem is that Vanessa is in his ear about Sheldon's alliance with Hira and Jamar and them. And so he's worried about that. And so Chris, Kyle, and Sheldon talk about the plan for next week. And Chris brings up, so what, how do you feel about Jamar and Hira? And Sheldon's like, look, I can't be the one to take the shot at them, but if you two win and take the shot at them for me, that would be perfect. I would love that. If you put Jamar and Hira on the block, that would just be wonderful. And you can see in Chris's eyes, he's like, yes, like that was his one concern, was pissing off Sheldon by going after Jamar and Hira. And now he's like, yes, like Sheldon's with us. Like, we can do that. We can take these people out and it won't bother Sheldon. That's perfect. And so Chris is really excited. And Sheldon's like, I'm serious. It's just like when you put up Brooke. And I was like, that's okay, because, you know, I'm close to Brooke, but that was fine. It's like, I don't care. I'm with you guys. That's been my thing. You know, I'm sorry if we don't check in enough, because I am an introvert. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've been with this since the start. We're going to do what they did last season, but better. Everyone wants to be the pretty boys.
I know. I was going to say another pretty boy shout out, because he's like, I saw what those guys did last season. We're going to do that, but better. And I'm like, OK, well, everybody wants to be the pretty boys, but nobody's really playing like the pretty boys, because this isn't even really a thing. So weird. But poor Chris, because Chris is really thinking this is a thing, and he's all excited, and he's like, my boys. And Sheldon and Kyle are like, yeah, sure, uh-huh, Chris.
I'll be talking with Anthony Douglas tonight. Good time, I guess, to bring on a pretty boy onto the podcast. So we'll get his thoughts on all of this. But yeah, so that's what happens there with Chris, Kyle, and Sheldon. Then Jamar is going to then go approach Rhee, and he's like, okay, Rhee, don't tell anyone I'm telling you this, but I think that there's a plan in the works. We just need to go to Shell. You need to tell him that you're good with him, and you know that you're not going to put him up or anything, because we really got to try to get somebody else on the block. You know, so it's like, I'm telling you, there could be a montage of people going up to Rhee saying like the exact same thing to her, thinking that they're the ones pulling her in and they're the ones convincing her that they're the ones who are convincing Sheldon to make some other plan happen. And so he's like, who would you prefer, Min or Chris? And she says, I would prefer Chris, to be honest. It's like, okay, go after Chris then. And he's like, okay, so you're going to do that. And so that's happening.
I know, that was fun to watch, because Jamar just so thinks that he's rightfully thinks that he's Sheldon's right-hand guy. So he's like talking to Ree like, oh, you know, I can kind of get whatever you need done. And he's like whispering to her and feels like he's running the show behind the scenes with Sheldon, when really Sheldon kind of wants him out next week. So it was just like funny to see that he really, and there's already a plan and he doesn't even know. So I'm like, oh, Jamar.
I really want to know like what Ree is thinking as person after person right. come up to her as being like, I'm going to get Sheldon to do this for you.
I know. She's playing that off really well. She does.
Like,
uh-huh. Every time they bring it up, she's like, oh, uh-huh. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. She plays dumb again. Like, she's very good socially. She's able to play dumb every single time, which is not something that a lot of people are capable of doing. Usually once they know information and then they're told information, they're like, oh yeah. But she's like, oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. It's pretty good.
Like at this point, when Jamar's talking to her, she already knows that it's Min, right? That's their place. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't say anything. So it's good that she's able to hide that, because a lot of people would have already blabbed about it. And then Jamar would freak out, lose his mind, it would cause scenes. So she's good at keeping things quiet. So I've been overlooking her, but I need to pay attention to her more.
Yeah. Carol is going to go and talk with Vanessa, that she says, I know Min's going up. I've talked with Ree. I've talked with Maddie. They both want to make a four with us. And Vanessa's like, what? They want to align with me? She's like, yes, I convinced them that you're not with Kyle. We're going to make the pretty boys, but with girls. Vanessa's like, but Rhea's so close to Kyle. And Carol says, no, she's only been pretending to be close with Kyle. She's not actually with Kyle. Carol has to convince both Vanessa and yeah. Ree that neither one of them is actually with Kyle. And so he's only been pretending ever since he did that thing to Michael, that she has been off of the Kyle train. So like, we're going to make this happen.
Yeah. And they were both thrilled. Like, they were so excited about it. I did not think Vanessa was going to be as into it as she was, because she already in this strong alliance, and they both seemed thrilled. So I was like, I was surprised by that.
Yeah. And again, like I really feel like the next stage of the game, if this Min backdoor plan goes through, is going to be who is able to win over the evictors. And I think that Carol and Vanessa somehow might actually be in the lead. And that puts them in a position of power. But again, the problem is that Vanessa is there, and I don't know what that means for them. So it's very, very, you know, I really thought things were going to solidify this week, but they've just gotten even more fluid than they were before.
I know. What I'm kind of thinking and hoping happens is, because I know JL and Jamar have been getting close, and I feel like the two girls trust JL more than they trust these two girls. So maybe JL and Jamar can kind of get close with Sue and then pull in those other two girls and have like a really strong, trustworthy dynamic. Because nobody really trusts anybody. Everyone has like their one or two people they trust, but no alliance, I feel like, is solid enough and trusting enough yet. We need like one solid, strong one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Carol is sort of winning with Ree and Maddie the most. But I think that Sheldon and Brooke are winning the most with JL. And so I don't know where that goes, because JL is also, as you said, connected to Jamar and mm-hmm. Hira. And I don't think he sees the conflict in that quite yet.
Yeah.
But I do think he's more into Sheldon and Brooke than he is Jamar and Hira right now. And that's going to be based on a conversation that we're going to get to right now. JL's talking to Sheldon and Brooke, and he says that he's kind of glad that the veto was pairs, because he probably would have won on his own if not. And if he had won on his own, then he would have had to either use the veto and, you know, save one of the girls and then be like forever connected to them, or not use it and like piss them off and be in a bad spot. So he kind of like, he won and doesn't have to deal with the ramifications. So it's that was a good thing for him. But then he's like, okay, so all right, Shell, is Kyle untouchable for you? Like, what's going on with Kyle, man? And Sheldon says, it's not that he's untouchable. It's that he's like this big guy, and he, you know, if Kyle leaves, then like, who's next, right? Like, I don't have any shield in front of me anymore. Like, so many people are willing to take the shot at Kyle. It's like, why am I going to do that work and then be the target afterward? Like, it just doesn't make sense for me. And Jael's like, that's exactly what I thought, man. Like, and okay, so don't tell anybody this, but Kyle's actually been coming to me and trying to, like, have talks and stuff. We call it, like, building trust talks. And so, like, I think that I can be cool with him, man. And I don't know. I think we can, like, work something out. And so this is why I really feel like Sheldon and Brooke are kind of winning the JL fight here. JL has not told anybody else about the Kyle stuff to the same degree that he is Sheldon and Kyle, or so Sheldon and Brooke. And so I think that they're really making some good inroads here. They're telling him things that they're hoping will get back to Ree and Maddie. And so they're banking on, like, JL helping them out with Ree and Maddie. At some point, like, when they're talking about Kyle, Hira just kind of comes into the HOH room and, like, halts the conversation, just sits down. And then they both JL and Hira leave. And Shell's just like, I hate this. I hate this. Like, he has so much trouble dealing with, like, people when he doesn't want them to be there. But then JL comes back in, they finish the conversation. They agree that Chris is the person they would send home before Kyle. Like, Chris is kind of the more pressing person, which is exactly what Sheldon wants Chris there to be. And so this is promising for Brooke and Sheldon. If they really do have JL like this, that can make their plan work if it works out in the way that they want. But they don't see what's happening with Carol and Vanessa, which could really be a thorn in their side. They also don't see what's happening with Chris and Vanessa, which could also be a big thorn in their side. So there's still quite a lot that's going around here.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where JL goes from here, because I wonder if I don't know his dynamic enough with Sheldon, but Sheldon's in power right now. So I feel like everybody's kind of coming to him. But when he's not in power, and whoever's in power next week, and like you said, they're going to really be going after JL and the two girls, will he stay on board with them, or will he move to who's next in power? I'm curious to see how that goes.
Yeah. So then a couple of brief things before we close out the day. Sheldon, Brooke, Sue, Jamar, and Hira had a brief conversation where they talked about Min and how she somehow named all five of them. Like, how did she get that information? I'm just waiting for it to click in Brooke and Sheldon's mind. Like, Min named all five of us. Vanessa told Min about Brooke wanting her to throw the veto. I wonder if Vanessa is the one that outed all five of us. Could this problem be even worse than we thought? But they haven't really put that together yet. Or if they have, they don't seem to mind because they think it's isolated to Min. But so that happens. And then Brooke late at night is going to talk to the cameras. She says, I can't believe I'm working with the alpha males. I'm so annoyed that this is happening. I came in, I thought I was going to not work with the alpha males, but trying to be adaptable. And she says again, the same thing that she said on the first night of feeds. I recognize Sheldon is the best player in the house right now, and I'm not going to be able to beat him in the end. So I'm going to have to start thinking about, like, how do I get out from under that at some point late in the game? So she's not forgotten.
But it's still so early. Like, these players are playing so fast, and they're trying to get all their allies out. Like, Sheldon's like, yeah, to Chris, he's like, yeah, you can take out Jamar. I just can't take out Jamar. Like, that's something you do, like, 4 weeks from now. Like, Jamar is a solid number for you. He will ride or die for you. Why are you trying to take him out this early? Like, everybody is just playing so fast.
Yeah, and, you know, they're all trying to be the pretty boys. But one of the things the pretty boys did so well is that they convinced their allies to not target any members of the pretty boys, but instead target the allies of the pretty boys. So, like, instead of Jamar and Hira going after Kyle and Kyle going after Jamar and Hira, they would have had Jamar and Hira going after Chris. And that was, like, the intention, but but Sheldon hasn't been able to appeal to them on an emotional level to get that to happen. And so now it's just become this big mess. And then you have Vanessa involved, which makes it even harder. And so it's all over the place, which I guess is good for us.
It is. It's the messiness is so entertaining and I love it. But game wise, it's just you like, I don't know. You can take a step back. And I think Brooke and Sheldon were kind of chilling and they were forced into this position when he got HOH. They were kind of taking a backseat for a bit. I mean, obviously Brooke was on the block, but I feel like they weren't overplaying. And now like they kind of got forced to overplay and then they get things in their head and they start to get paranoid and they're like all just trying to target each other. And I'm like, you don't have to do that yet.
Yeah, I felt they were underplaying last week.
Yeah.
And then this week it seemed like they had a good plan. But the second something went wrong, meaning Maddie won the veto, now it's like, well, crap, there's not a lot of room to maneuver here because they don't really have like the social, emotional capabilities to expand their reach beyond the logical path that they're following. That's what we have for you today. This was definitely a long one. Like I said, there was a lot that happened yesterday. The entire nature of the game has been shifted in multiple different directions. There were confrontations, vetoes, targets. Sheldon promised to Min earlier in the day that he would not backdoor her. Then later in the day when she asked, he was like, I mean, I meant it when I said it, which she took to mean that she was still good. So she still feels okay. But we are definitely in for some more chaos in the short term, because after the veto ceremony, Min is going to be very upset. Sheldon might talk to Min before the veto ceremony, so we might see some craziness happen there. I was thinking about what might happen when Min finds out, and I realized Min has a ton of dirt on Vanessa. All of the things that Vanessa has told her, she can out if she thinks to do it. And if she does, that could actually change Sheldon's plans, because it will show him some more of what's happening in the house, which might make him realize that this is maybe not the best move for him. So if Min thinks to do it, that could actually help her and really again shake things up. So there's quite a lot yet to happen, this week is crazier than last week.
It is. I'm so excited to see where these next few days, how they play out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on with me, Jess. You were great.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
All right. Where can people find you if they want to find you on social media?
Oh, I think it's Jess_Yeager for both Instagram and Twitter.
There you go. You can find me at Armstrong Taren on Twitter, of course. Find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I'll be back tonight with Anthony to talk about tonight's episode of Big Brother Canada 8. And then tomorrow morning, of course, 11 a.m. Eastern to update on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. And then Tuesday night, we'll have our next roundtable. We'll update the ratings. Should be all over the place. Talk about the stock watch, talk about the state of the house. There's going to be a lot to talk about in the roundtable. And then Thursday night, of course, we'll be back to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 8, which might be Min's eviction episode for all we know. So that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.